Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. Stay up to date by following Devin on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or downloading wherever you listen to podcasts. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here's your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. I'm coming to you from California. Sarah Carter, our guest today, is actually coming to you from the border of Texas. We're going to try to make this work, Sarah. I'm going to be down there tomorrow and the next day. I think you and I are going to do an interview together. I think I'll be on your podcast next week. But you've been down to the border several times. Your whole career, you've really covered Mexican drug cartels, the immigration crisis. So this is really in your wheelhouse. You've spent a lot of time, I know, in Central America covering these issues. What is new? How does this differ? I know you were just there a month ago. You're back today. What's changed over the last few years, Sarah?
I think it's just gotten progressively worse, Congressman Nunes. It's been, for me, probably one of the biggest parts of my career is covering the U.S.-Mexico border. Because they are neighbors to the south, the concern about the national security implications, as well as the humanitarian crisis. You know, I've been down here in McAllen sector. I figured it out since probably around 2004, 2005, continuously covering stories both in the Rio Grande Valley, Yuma, Arizona, Calexico, California, into Mexico, as well as like covering all the border cities inside Mexico. And I can tell you this, the problems are just as bad for us here as they are for the people in Mexico there. I mean, I want to be able to tell both sides of the story. This is about neighbors working together, but this is also about the very dangerous drug cartels on the other side of the border and the national security implications that we saw with the two Yemeni. Finally, we saw that. And I think that was stunning that the Biden administration pulled down the press release, but that there were two men on the terrorism watch list from Yemen that actually came through in your state of California.
So you were there a month ago. Walk us through where you were at and what you saw a month ago.
I think what was so disheartening and so sad was the amount of child trafficking, is what I call, in the area I was at. It was an area in the Rio Grande Valley sector known as Rincon, near Anzaldúas Park and near the Anzaldúas Bridge. It didn't matter what day I went, or even if it was day or night, children were being smuggled across the border by the cartels. I would run into groups no matter when I went, and whether they were groups of 10 to groups of 20 to groups of 60, some nights the groups would be over 100, you know, young children coming in. And remember, a lot of these being trafficked by predators. These are not nice people. They are not, you know, traveling on a bus with someone taking care of them. I saw children as young as 3 years old. It was tragic and sad. There were two young children in one instance that actually looked very dehydrated. I know they were fine once they made it to Border Patrol, but they were very, very sick. They were dehydrated. One was a baby, one was a toddler. For me, I think what we're seeing here is the crisis exacerbated, right? They know that the Biden administration has basically opened the floodgates. No one's doing anything, so the drug cartels are taking advantage of that. They're working with human smuggling operations to basically move people into the U.S. so they can into other areas. And I think that's something that our lawmakers need to pay attention to, and the administration really needs to wake up and pay attention to. There's a lot of gotaways here, and there's a lot of contraband moving through these border areas. And one of the interesting things I'll tell you I saw was you could actually hear the smugglers. And I think people saw that on the show when the senators were out here. They'll taunt the Border Patrol. They'll scream out things like, you know, hey, jefe, ¿cómo estás? You know, they'll make fun of them while they're bringing people into the U.S. So it's completely blatant.
When you saw the kids last time, the children, you said 2 years old, 3 years old. I assume that goes all the way up. How would you categorize the percentage that are, say, on their own, that have left their home trying to get work, say they're 14, 15, 16 young adults versus children that are essentially by themselves and with no parents?
I would say the majority out here, and you can see how hot the weather is. The majority out here are actually teenagers. Sometimes we can't even gather their age because they don't carry identifiers on them. So there's a lot of times that Border Patrol will say, you know what? Do I have really a 15-year-old or 16-year-old, or is this someone who's lying to me and they're really like 21, but I have to house them in a child facility? Is that their way of coming in? They really, a lot of times, have a hard time distinguishing. I think that's the thing. For the younger children, some of them are traveling with family members, and some of them are traveling with people who say they're family members, but are not family members. We've had instances out here where some of the children are actually being rented out so that they can look like they're part of family units. Border Patrol agents have told me they've seen some of the kids come 2, 3, 4 times through the border. And that is very distressing because just think, I'm sweating bullets out here right now. It's not, you know, totally, it's spring, but it's already in the 90s. Imagine traveling through the Valley and coming through when it's 9 degrees. You're thirsty. You don't know who you're with. I know some of the kids that we've actually met with would say things like, one boy, for instance, said, "This isn't my father. You're not my dad." You know, when the man was saying, I'm your dad. And he was maybe about 9 years old. So we have issues right now we're dealing with children that are being trafficked. We're not identifying who their guardians are. There's a lot of abuse. And unfortunately, there's so much chaos right now in the administration and in the bureaucracy. Not only are American lives in danger, but of course, the children that are being trafficked, their lives are in danger.
So what you're telling me is leave my suit and tie at home for my trip to the border over the next few days.
I'm stunned whenever I see that. It's heavy rush. There's, you know, snakes out there. You know how it is. You're on the border. You're in the Rio. A pair of jeans, a good pair of boots.
So let me just ask you the final question. We had Andy Biggs, Congressman Biggs, on from Arizona. He estimated that more than 100,000 people a month are coming over the border and getting into the United States. Do you think that that is a accurate number? You think it's higher or lower?
In March, it was over 170,000 that were actually apprehended. In February, it was about 100,000. Those that are gotaways, people that are not being captured, what they estimate, people that are actually making it through without any identifiers, are roughly about 1,000 a day. Through the nearly 2,000-mile U.S. border with Mexico. Think about how porous that is, Congressman. You know, I know your focus is national security, and I know that you have spent a lot of time focusing on the national security of the United States. Since I've been covering the border from the early 2000s, I think the biggest issue for our DEA, for our federal law enforcement, our FBI, as well as our intelligence assets and our military in this hemisphere of the world, our border is so exposed. And I think that the lesson learned here with the accidental press release of the two Yemeni, men that were on the terrorism list is that this is a very dangerous border. It's very porous. It's not only dangerous for the people that are being trafficked through, but for Americans and for our children who are being poisoned by fentanyl, but also the idea that people could come into our country. We don't know who they are. They've disappeared into the fabric of America. And the scary thing is, it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. When something happens, what are lawmakers going to say then, right? What's going to happen then when the administration has to admit there was an attack somewhere and that they find it out through the border? There won't be any plausible deniability then, right?
Well, we know this much, Sarah, that we thank God we have a few good reporters that are out in the world today. We know the mainstream media will continue to cover for the Democrats, but I'm glad that we have you out there and others. And I look forward to seeing you over the next few days out on the border. It's been a while since I've been to the border, and sounds like I'm going to be in for a rude awakening.
Tony.
All right, Sarah, we will see you in the next couple days. This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next time.
Stay up to date by following Devin Nunes on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or download wherever you listen to podcasts.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all.
by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.